Welcome to Not a Novice, a time of refreshing and upliftment through the unfailing word of God with Bishop Victor Collins Asabre. Bishop Collins is the Bishop of the Good Shepherd Church, a dynamic church located in Canal No. 2 Polder, West Bank Demerara, with branches all over Guyana. Now, here is the message.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a blessing it is to be coming your way again with another message from the Lord. Shall we pray wherever you are? Just a minute. If you're driving, please don't close your eyes and pray. But if you're home, if you're sitting down, if you're relaxing, then of course, closing your eyes would not be a bad idea. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity you've given to us to be together, to hear and to learn from you. I pray you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and I will not leave this service the same as we joined. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody said amen. Wonderful. So welcome to Not a Novice. Not a Novice. A novice is somebody who doesn't know much. A novice is, another word for novice is a punk, a newbie, or a new baby. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that if anyone in a church leader, head of a church, is going to install leaders, is going to choose people to become leaders, he should not choose somebody who is a novice. Are you with me? It's just like how if you apply for a job, depending on where you're coming from, if you apply for a job, and when the place where you apply to, when they look at your CV, your curriculum vitae, or they look at your resume, and they see that after school, after you qualified as a civil engineer, after you qualified as an computer analyst, you have not worked anywhere. In fact, when they look at your resume, they see that you completed university 6 years ago as an engineer, electrical engineer, and then you just did some 6 months with a company, and that's it. From that 6 months up to now, there's no record of you working anywhere with your skills or your knowledge you gained from university. You easily not get a job. You'll easily not get a job. Why? Because you're a newbie. You're a newbie. You are a novice. You are not somebody who has experience. Are you with me? In the same way also, in the Bible, where God expects us to be people who are knowledgeable, people who are experienced, people who are, you know, they have things under control, people who have the word of God. You know, Bible says that be instant in season and out of season, preach, rebuke, encourage, and exhort in all righteousness. And so God wants us to be versed in his word, versed in the Bible, versed in the scriptures. That is when he can actually do something with us. Just like you can't get a job when you apply for it because you're a novice, God will also not use you if you don't know much. If God chooses you, if God picks you up and he puts you somewhere where you don't know much, you disgrace yourself. The devil will take advantage of you. A lot of things will not work in your favor. And so it's very important that in this church, not a novice church, you pay attention, you write down everything I'm talking about, that you go over it. In fact, you should even go over it and make sure that all that I'm saying is exactly what it is supposed to be in the Bible. Okay, so we don't claim a perfection in what we are saying. It's important for you to cross-check, go over, study, and then even if you have questions, you can come back and then call our number. We can discuss any questions you may have with you. And so you're welcome again. We're looking at wise as serpents. Okay, wise as serpents. Our topic is wise as serpents. Are you there? We started a week ago. What it means to be wise as a serpent. What it means to be wise as a serpent. In Matthew chapter 10 in verse 16. The Bible says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we're looking at, well, why is Jesus saying that, well, as I send you, you should be wise as serpents. Why not wise as an eagle? Wise as a student? Wise as an electrician? Wise as a wife? Wise as a husband? Why is Jesus using the animal, the snake, and comparing him to wisdom? It means that there's something about the snake that God has given the snake some attributes. Do you get it? That has made him wise. That has actually made him stand out. For Jesus to pick the snake as a sign or an illustration, an example of wisdom, then you and I need to also study the snake and find out why is Jesus referring to the snake as wise. And also try and live our lives the way a snake would live his life. Are you with me? The Bible uses animals, sometimes as examples or illustrations. You get it? The Bible says that, go to the ant, you sluggard. Proverb. Animal. A small insect. The Bible says, go to the ant, and you lazy person, and learn of his ways. So the ant has something. There's something called the ant principle. If you're going to build a house and you don't want a loan, or you don't have access to a loan, there's something called the ant principle. It means that ants they gather their food when it's not raining, and then they have enough food when it's raining. But when it rains, they can't come out and then do anything. In fact, rain will actually smash them and kill them. So what the ant does is that, whilst it's dry, in the dry season, they come out, they pick up things one by one, little by little. Can you imagine what the food, the type of food, the type of chow mein that an ant can pick up at one time and go to its nest? And if you have 1,000 ants, that's why the ants, they cooperate. Because they realize that we are all small. If you don't put our strength together, we can't do anything. So there are so many things you can learn from animals as in the Bible. Amen. In the same way, Jesus is bringing another animal here, which is the serpent. He says, I am sending you as sheep among wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents. So we're looking at seven reasons why serpents are considered wise. Number one is that serpents are considered to be wise because they have multiplied and flourished more than any other wild animal. We looked at that. Number two, serpents are considered to be wise because they have continued to exist in an ever modernizing world. With all the housing schemes and all of that, you'll be surprised that a snake is living in your toilet. You'll be surprised that a snake is right in your garden, your backyard, when you finish building your house. The housing schemes, the development, they don't get rid of snakes. It gets rid of lions. It gets rid of cheetahs and jaguars and rabbits and foxes and a cree and an anteater. But it does not get rid of that guy called a snake. Isn't it fantastic? It means that no matter the seasons and the changes that goes on in life, if you are going to adapt the wisdom of a snake, you will not become extinct. You see, there are some things that become extinct with time. Oh, I don't know if you are listening to me. For example, if you look at technology has made a lot of things defunct. Now, cassette recorder is no more in use. Do you get it? Now, it's very difficult to go and take pictures and go and print it in the photo lab. People take pictures on their phone. And then it's everything has become digital. Now, if you are in photo business, you can either go out of business or stay in business. If you stay in line with development, just like the snake has not become extinct, even though there's modernization. In our church the other day, a church, tiles and all of that, one day we just went to church. It was a snake trying to come to the church. It was just on the floor, moving. You would think that a church built, tiled and all of that, doors secured, that no snake will come around. No. The fact that you've come to build a church here when the place was bush or grass, you've come to put a building here, does not make the snake is not moved by that. That's the wisdom that Jesus wants us to learn. So serpents are considered to be wise because they have continued to exist in an ever modernizing world. You will notice that many wild animals are becoming extinct in our modern world. Hallelujah. Number three, serpents are considered to be wise because they have been able to flourish even though they are hated by everyone. Hey, do you commit suicide when you are hated by people? I've heard stories all over. Nobody likes me. Then you are depressed. Mental health. Before you realize, God forbid, you're cutting your wrist. You're doing damage to yourself. You want to jump into the water. You want to chop into, you know. No. The snake, you are not hated more than the snake. I'm telling you. All the snakes, red, yellow, blue, green, whatever color, as long as you are called snake, as long as you are a snake, when a human being sees you, it means that that's the end of your life. So you have not experienced anything yet. And if you are going to prosper in this world, if you are going to do well in this life, you will have to be able to still push yourself, still be able to force yourself, still be able to press on, to be relentless in the midst of adversity, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of your anything that you may have that you think that is keeping you back. In the midst of that, you should be able to press forward. You should be able to press forward. The color of your skin shouldn't prevent you from becoming successful. The way you look, your gender, shouldn't prevent you from becoming who you want to become. If you want to become a pilot of a Boeing 747, you can't say that you are what? You are female. Or you come from a poor country. The snake is hated so much yet. Snakes keep multiplying all the time. I challenge you. After this service, if you care, you can look around your house. You can easily find one. Is there a crowd watching you as you are listening to me preaching? Hallelujah. Serpents are considered to be wise because they have been able to flourish even though they are hated by everyone. Every single human being does not like snakes. I mean, can you imagine? Many people are afraid of cockroach even. Just little cockroach. Little cockroach. You see sometimes some people, when they see cockroaches, how much more a snake? A snake, ask for a snake, people will holler. But snakes have managed, you see, and of course, if the snake makes a mistake and then he shows up, he'll be killed. But that has still not been able to eradicate them from the world. There's no way that there's no snake. There's no way that there's no snake. If you compare it to, let's say, gender or race, right? It is possible that you will not find a particular race at certain levels in society in several places. I used to work in an environment in Europe, and I was the only person from my race who was at management. So anytime we have European meetings, and I represent my department with my presentation and all of that, I will be the only person from my race in the big group of senior management, middle management, junior management. I am the only person from my race doing presentation of my department and our challenges and all of whatnot. So you realize that snakes are not like that. Even if you go to, you see a snake. Snakes are in Siberia. Snakes are in the interior. Snakes are in America. You can't say because I'm a snake, I can't go to America. There are snakes in America. Because I'm a snake, I can't be in Guyana. Snakes are in Guyana. But as a region 9, they don't allow snakes there. You find a snake there. So even though they are hated, they are still around. They are still around. Are you enjoying the teaching? That's what Jesus said. Wise, be wise as a serpent. It means that you have to push away people's hatred. I feel like I'm talking to somebody this afternoon, that you feel that you are so hated that the engine, your capacity to do well in life is being shut down by that thought. Lady, let me tell you, the hatred that you are experiencing cannot be compared to the power that lives in you. The Bible says that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The hatred that you are experiencing at your workplace, that cannot be compared to what God has placed inside of you. Receive strength and be delivered from deception in the name of Jesus. Be as wise as a serpent, and you see how you will go very far. So point number four, reasons why serpents are considered wise. Number four, serpents are considered to be wise because they evoke fear and respect in human beings. They evoke fear and respect in human beings. They evoke fear and respect in human beings. Charlie, with all the things about snake, if you see snake, it's just only one people who, when they see snake, they want to go close the snake. Like sometimes, you know, people of a different color, people of different races, the white man, the hair, they brought this zoo principle where they would take an animal and put them in a cage and tame them and all of that. But Charlie, you saw everybody who likes to touch a snake and put him in a bottle and keep it all. Snake, even though they don't have hands to slap you, they don't have foot to kick you, they don't have hands to take a gun and shoot you, people are afraid of them. We human beings are afraid. We're afraid of the dark. We are afraid of people who come and assault us, people who come and steal from us, people who come and kill us, and people who stick us up and take things from us. We are afraid of all those things. But a snake, a small labaria, if you see it, you run. The labaria is like somebody who is grown up, a 30-something-year-old person, a 40-something-year-old person, who has a gun or a knife running after you. That is how fearful the labaria, the snake, has made himself to become. That if you see a snake, if you see a boa constrictor, if you see an anaconda, if you see a python, if you see a cobra, cobras, hey, you run. Cobras can actually, we'll get there. Snakes are known to be able to even run. They can run without legs. They can. If the cobra is running, half of his body is on the ground and the head is up like that. I tell you, the snakes, with all the things, they were in the Bible, in Genesis, the Bible says that the serpent was the most craftiest animal. He was the one who actually deceived the Eve. That's what we believe as Christians. And the Bible says that God, when he came and he realized what has happened, he actually cursed the snake and he told him that he will be on his stomach for the rest of his life and then he will eat dust. It actually tells us that the snake probably had legs and had hands. Maybe the snake could have slapped somebody today, but it was because of God's spoken words that took away the hands and the legs, the limbs. So the snake probably was like a lizard or maybe a crocodile. You know, in that family, maybe an amphibian or something like that. Do you get it? But because of the curse, God cursed the snake. He doesn't have any hands or foot anymore. He just goes on his belly. Can you imagine any creature, any human, if you were to just be on your belly alone, you'd be very limited. How do you jump into a, how do you drive a car? How do you ride a bicycle when you go on your belly? How do you go to work when you go on your belly? But the snake has not been limited by any of those things. That is why God is singling out the serpent and saying that, I want you as my people to live in this world, to live your life in this world, and practice the things that the snake practices. The snake is so wise that with all his limitations and all that he is, he evokes fear in human beings. We respect snakes. If you see there's a snake here, you pass the other side. You say, please. Not so. I don't want any problem. We don't argue with a snake. I've never seen anybody who's arguing with a snake because of what we know the snake can do to you. Sometimes you can say, oh, this snake is not poisonous. I say, I beg you. You try right there. This snake is not poisonous. Who is saying that? You telling me? Are you a doctor of snakes? But hey, rest yourself. Even if it's poisonous or not, you just don't want to be close to a snake. Fear and respect is given to the serpent because of what he has managed, the reputation. The reputation. I mean, you look at it. Sometimes you have people who live in neighborhoods, who live in areas, they have reputations. I mean, you don't cross their boundary. If you cross their boundary right now, something bad will happen to you. Isn't it? Yeah. Snakes have managed to do the same thing. Sometimes you go to, let's say, some areas, it's a gated community. You have a security. You can't just go there anyhow. Or maybe somebody has their house. They have a security right there. They have cameras. They have this, that. It's very secure. You see, you respect that. That's how the snake is. The snake is like a house with a security camera and a dog and a security guard. That is how respected bandits and thieves, you know, they respect houses like that. If they want to pick up a house to steal from, they will not pick up the house with video cameras, surveillance cameras, security, dogs. No. It's the same kind of respect and regard we have chosen as a human race to give to the snake, to the serpent. Jesus said, you and I must be as wise. It means that we should engage ourselves in things that will bring respect to us, that people will fear us, that people will bring respect to us. The Bible says that when the church started in the book of Acts and the apostles began to do wonders, when Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they went to sell their house lot, and then they got $5 million for it. And then they sat among themselves and they said, you know what? We have children. Our children are going to go to school. We need to put up at least $1 million and give the Apostle Peter and the other disciples, we give them the $4 million. We keep $1 million on the side. So they agreed and they did that. The Bible says that when Ananias went to Peter and presented the $4 million to Peter, Peter said, Ananias, why hast thou brought part of the money and not all? Was the land not for you? What you sold, was the money not for you? Why do you bring a piece and leave a piece? Are you not lying to the Holy Spirit? And the Bible says that Ananias fell down and he died. Wow. You can tell a lie and die like that in the church? People who go to the church will respect the church. Hallelujah. Then his wife Sapphira came a few minutes later. When she came, the Apostle Peter saw her and said, Madam, why did you agree with your husband to do something bad like that? The people who want to bury your husband, I hear your footsteps. They are coming to take you also with them. Then the woman fell and she died. You see, the Bible says, and fear came upon everyone. Can you imagine you go to church? Now we go to church with all our lives and we don't die. We go to church and then the pastor asks us to give an offering. You have about $5,000 in your pocket, but you give $20. And you say, that's all I have. You are lying and you are not dead. You see, the fear that came into the early church was a fear that God is omnipotent and omnipresent and that God is all-knowing. And that you can't do something secret. You can't do something and hide away from God. And God sees everything. That reality sunk into their spirits right away. Because they saw how Ananias and his wife lied and they died. Are you with me? It's that same fear the snake has managed to create for itself over the years. If you will serve God and serve God well, people will be afraid of you. If you believe God and live for God, people will give you respect. Be wise as serpent and harmless as doves. Number 5, serpents are considered to be wise because of their ability to live in every continent and every part of the world. Every continent, the ability to live in every continent and every part of the world. Snakes are everywhere. Snakes are in America. Snakes are in Europe, snakes are in Africa, snakes are in Asia, snakes are in the Caribbean, Snakes are in the North Pole, Siberia. There are snakes in the colder areas. There are snakes in the hotter areas. It's not like human beings where we can't live somewhere. I lived for many years in Europe. And whenever I go back to Europe in the winter, I always ask myself if it is me. Because I always find it so difficult to cope. And I didn't believe how I used to live there for many, many years. You have to put on a lot of clothes. You put on your undies. You put on your, you have something they call it, there's a name for it. Like a tight, the female tights, the long ones. You have to put it on. Then you put on your jeans. Then you have to put on your vest. You put on a t-shirt. You put on a shirt. Then you put on a pullover. Before you put on a jacket. I mean, you are walking as a boutique. You are walking boutique. It's so cold. It's so cold. And that's why even if you look at the white people, when it's cold, sometimes they go away. They go to warm countries. Those who are rich. That's why you rather place like Florida and LA, Los Angeles. People like to live there than, let's say, the East Coast, which is New York, New Jersey, and those places. Because those places can be very cold. Just the summer, then you get some sun. But in LA and in Florida and these places, it's all year round, you have the sun. Do you get it? Snakes are everywhere. Whether it's rain, whether it's sunny, whether it's snow, no matter the weather, snakes are everywhere. Can you also have a business that is everywhere? Can you also have a church that is everywhere? Can you also have a presence that is everywhere? That is the greatest wisdom the snake has. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what time has for us today. We'll continue next week, but I want to pray with you if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to say, Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Pray this prayer after me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I receive Jesus today to be my Lord and my personal Savior. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer, call 691-5301. 691-5301. I'll speak with you. I'll pray with you. And I'll give you some directions, okay, on how to continue to live your life for Jesus. All right. It's time for offering. It's time for offering. It's time for offering. And so I want to encourage you to give an offering. I've been encouraging you to tithe. To tithe. A tenth of your increase. Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 3 says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and their presses will burst out with new wine. Anytime you give, God has a way of blessing you in return. Anytime you give, God has a way of rewarding you. And so I want you to give an offering. MMG is 614-7909. You can call that same number also if you want to give an offering. You don't know how to do it. Call that number 614-7909. I believe God is going to bless you. Pastor, Father, I pray for everyone who is giving at this time, tithing, giving an offering. I pray for blessings, the blessings of God that maketh rich, that added no sorrow to it. I pray that that blessing will attach itself unto these ones as they give today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right? So, do your best. Give your offering. I'm waiting a few seconds for you to give your offering. Call that number 614-7909 and give. If you probably want to give towards the radio program, maybe it's not just an offering, but you want to give to pay some of our bills. We pay our radio bill, TV bill. We are on radio and we are on TV. Okay, every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, MTV channel 65. If you're in the Georgetown, the Region 4 area, I'm sure you can tune in. And so we have TV bills, we have radio bills. We're paying it. But I believe that if you connect with this ministry and help pay, I believe that God is also going to help you. The Bible says, my help comes from the Lord. And so give towards the church as an offering. Give your tithe. But also give to support us and to keep us online, on air for as long as the Lord allows us. Okay, so God bless you. Father, I pray for anybody who's lacking wisdom. I pray that wisdom will be given. Bible says if we lack wisdom, we should ask of you. Let the wisdom of the serpent be our portion. May we be people who exist, who prosper, who do well, who live in a way that we will not be extinct. Thank you for blessing our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you have been blessed by this message. For more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call 592-691-5301 or 592-628-2227 or email us on notanoviceservice@gmail.com. God richly bless your day.